It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Superintendents from Wisconsin's five largest school districts are asking state lawmakers to work together to find a bipartisan solution to increase school funding.
School leaders from Madison, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine, and Green Bay wrote the open letter. It calls on the legislature and Governor Evers to return to annual per-pupil funding increases that are tied to the cost of living.
Wisconsin previously had that funding system in place under Governor Tommy Thompson, but it was eliminated in 2009 during the Great Recession.
The school districts say the current funding formula is not sustainable and will start to harm students over time.
We're taking a closer look at these funding issues and the state politics involved with Corrine Hess, WPR's education reporter. Corey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What prompted this open letter from the superintendents of the five largest school districts in our state?
So as you both just mentioned, public school districts have not had a cost of living increase in 17 years. This has caused these superintendents and school leaders across the state to have to cut staff, consolidate schools, delay building maintenance. And so at this point, they've decided to come together to say, you know, they need more money.
Is it unusual for these districts to send a unified letter?
I really haven't seen this much in the past, so it is pretty unusual.
For your story, you spoke to a few of the superintendents who signed on to the letter, including Green Bay Superintendent Vicki Beyer. And let's listen to what she said about her frustration with the politicization of education funding in Wisconsin.
I'm really waiting for the adults to come to the room and start talking seriously about how we're going to fund public ed in Wisconsin. And that was part of the catalyst of this letter. We are just trying to provide solutions and asking them to please work bipartisanly to better our communities.
We're trying to provide solutions, Beyer says. What are the superintendents proposing with this letter?
So the state has a $4 billion surplus, and what these superintendents want is some of that money to be used to increase general state aid for public schools. This latest state budget did not increase state aid for public schools.
And why is the letter coming out now when the budget was passed more than 6 months ago? What is the timing here?
So when the budget was passed, the Republicans agreed to increase the reimbursement rate for special education costs. That rate was, it was pretty low. Governor Evers asked for a 60% increase. Republicans agreed to 42%, which was significant. But then in November, the Department of Public Instruction let schools know that the appropriations would actually only cover about 35% of the costs. Schools had already done their budgets for the year. So this was a shock to schools. And so, you know, now they're coming back and they're saying this is just not going to work for them.
You know, here on our show last week, we spoke with Republican Representative Senate President Mary Felskowski. And, you know, one thing that stood out from that conversation, she was basically saying, you know, telling districts to tighten your belts. You talked with some of these superintendents on the phone yesterday. How did that sit with them?
It doesn't sit well. You know, they say they've done the belt tightening. They have, you know, right now they're telling me all they can do is open up the buildings and try to retain staff, that they've already made the cuts. They've gone to the communities several times to try to get referendums passed, and they can't keep doing that. They need help from the state is what I'm hearing.
You know, districts are going to voters, as you said, to raise tax levies. Can you give us an idea of the scale of these operational referenda that we've seen on ballots in recent elections?
They're high. You know, Milwaukee passed one in 2024 that was over $200 million. Madison passed two in their school district that was over $600 million. That was for operations and capital projects. And these superintendents know that voters are tired of passing referendums. The Marquette poll showed that voters are tired of referendums. And so I think superintendents know that they can't keep going back and asking taxpayers to help just sustain these budgets.
We're talking with WPR education reporter Corey Hess about a group of Wisconsin superintendents from the five largest districts in the state calling on state lawmakers to compromise on school funding increases and sending a unified open letter. Corey, can you explain the partial veto that Governor Evers did in the last budget and the per pupil funding increases that were locked in for 400 years by the governor's veto?
So this was a school funding mechanism that allows school districts to increase about $300 per pupil. And the superintendents say this was a nice gesture of support, but it's not enough because it's not a cost of living increase. And what it has become is a political sticking point because Republicans are saying they're not going to negotiate to give schools more money until this 400-year kind of maneuver by the governor is removed. So what it is now is it's just become politics. And so that's where they're at. And that's why the superintendents have put out this letter and they're saying, please, politicians, come to the table and let's figure out something else.
And these superintendents, they're calling for funding increases that are tied to cost of living. Can you go deeper there? How significant of a change would that be financially for the district budgets if it was tied to cost of living?
You know, in talking to the Madison superintendent, he's saying that they've lost out on several million dollars a year. And this has been 17 years. So it would be very significant. And they're talking to me about stuff, you know, they're saying that inflation has hit them just like it's hit regular homeowners. You know, they're saying cost to heat the building, cost to feed the kids, healthcare costs. So it would be significant.
One of the tensions here is that the state is sitting on this significant budget surplus, you know, and it exists as extra money to spend once versus a request for recurring costs that might not always have this surplus available to fund. How big of an obstacle do you foresee that being with the budget surplus and one-time money?
I think it could. You know, I think if they come to the table, it could maybe not be as big of an obstacle. Speaker Voss signaled that he would be willing to talk, and both and Governor Evers did too. He was on your show last week, and he says that he thinks that there's enough money for both school relief and property tax relief. And I know Republicans want to use this money for taxes, so you know, maybe not as big as it looks right now.
Okay, one other line in this open letter, one of the other asks by the superintendents is for increasing the special education reimbursement rate. And in the letter, they said the funding promised in the state budget is unlikely to be upheld. Why is that?
So late last year, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau showed that the school districts ended up spending more on special education than they thought. So there just wasn't as much money as originally estimated.
Okay. I want to turn. So basically now with this open letter, have the superintendents received any reaction from state lawmakers or otherwise? What's been the reaction?
This went out on Friday afternoon, and I reached out to Republican leaders yesterday, and I did not hear back. So as far as I know, they have not.
Okay. So we will be watching that. Meanwhile, you have also been reporting over the weekend about UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin leaving to take over as president at Columbia University. Do you think this move came as a surprise to UW-Madison?
I don't think it was a complete surprise. She's been at UW-Madison for almost 4 years. Her father was a professor at Harvard, and her husband, who's a political science professor, is from New York. Studies show most chancellors leave after about 5 years. So I don't think anyone expected that she would finish her career at Madison. Maybe, you know, leaving now might have been a bit of a surprise.
Mnookin has navigated UW-Madison through controversies over DEI funding, as well as the pro-Palestine protests. How do those issues shape her legacy in that role as chancellor?
You know, higher education has had two very tumultuous years across the country. And yesterday, several people came out with statements about Dr. Mnuchin's performance, including Governor Evers and Speaker Voss, who both praised her for how she's navigated these tough issues at UW-Madison.
What will be some of the top issues that Mnuchin's replacement will be on their to-do list when they take over as the new chancellor?
So the university just announced that it now ranks fifth in the nation for research expenditures. And this is the first time it's ranked that high since 2014. So I'm guessing that they will want to continue that. That's a huge accomplishment. She's done a lot to make sure that students, Wisconsin students, can afford to go to UW-Madison. I would guess that they want to continue that. So I think that those are some top issues.
What do you know about the timeline for her departure, and what is the process for replacing her as chancellor?
Chancellor Mnuchin plans to stay through the spring commencement, and UW System President Jay Rothman says he plans to appoint an interim chancellor soon, and then the Board of Regents will begin a national search.
Corey, thank you so much for the update on these education stories. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Corey Hess is an education reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She was with us to share her reporting first on school superintendents from the five largest districts in Wisconsin calling on state lawmakers to find a better compromise for school funding in the state. And then we spoke about Chancellor Mnuchin headed to Columbia University and the replacement for the top chancellor position at UW-Madison.